Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 7. We'll also be coming out of Matthew chapter 5. I'm probably not going to go over there, but the reference will be made. So if you go back, if you're one of those people who feed on these messages, I don't know a better word for it, afterwards, then you can go back and get some more of the content out of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Amen? So I'm just giving you a reference right there. Okay, so Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. And I'll give you the reference later on again too. But this is about the centurion. I put on the Facebook, on the church website or whatever, the title of this message is Authority Understood, right? I had an alternate title for it. It's called I Just Blew Your Doors Off, Sucker. So you title it whichever you want to. I'm preferable to the second one. Amen? But see, I'm trying to learn as a pastor to be more delicate in what I say and what's for consumption of people. But I sure do like I just blew your doors off. Sucker. Amen? It don't feel the same unless you say sucker at the end. Amen? Luke chapter 7, verse 1. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. There's a lot of this about this centurion in here, and he understood Jesus' authority. And that's where you get that more refined title. But then God says something in here that says, you people that were very religious, and some of you disciples who are learning, just got your doors blew off by somebody who you shouldn't have had your doors blew off by. And if we're not careful as Christians, we can miss all the good stuff that Jesus wants to do in our lives and the big stuff. Because there's moments in your Christian walk that you can show up big for God. Instead, somebody else will do it and you'll get your doors blew off. Sucker. God, I love that, don't you? Because you're going to go out of here tonight and some of you are going to say, my pastor all night on Wednesday night called me a sucker. It's all right. Maybe somebody will show up next week and try to see what I said about him. Amen. Now when he had ended all this saying, in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. I love Capernaum. Capernaum is it's a cool place. I've talked about this and you'll hear me talk about this again. I want this church to be like a Capernaum. Amen. It's the middle of the road for Jesus. It's the place where people believed in who He was. Amen? It wasn't where He grew up. Amen? It wasn't Nazareth. See, Nazareth had the idea about who Jesus was. He's that illegitimate son of Joseph. Amen? And it wasn't Jerusalem either, or Judah. It wasn't. They already had their religious elite, and He wasn't welcome in. Amen? It's two ditches there. We don't believe in who you are because we got an idea of where you came from. Amen? Jesus talked about that place. He said, don't try to be a great minister in your own hometown. Amen? That's why a lot of small churches in certain areas struggle because they pick their pastors or they let their pastors come from their hometown. And a lot of times people can't get over them how they grew up. They hold their past against them. Amen? I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's hard. Because you're sitting there trying to preach the gospel to somebody, and they say, I remember that old boy. He used to do this back in high school. I remember that old boy. I did this with him. Amen? But if you get somebody God's put in there from a different place, all you can do is listen to him. Or go back to his hometown and dig up dirt on him, I guess. Amen? All right. Never mind. I thought it was fun. But Capernaum, we want to be a Capernaum. We want to be a place where we just believe Jesus can and will. We believe His Word. We just trust Him. When He shows up, we just say, give Him more. Give us more. Amen? Every time Jesus stepped foot back in Capernaum, there was somebody there going, do it again. Man, I got a lame friend. I got a demon-possessed man. I got somebody that's sick. Amen? Here they are. Do what you do, Jesus. We believe. And he done a lot of work. Amen? He healed a lot of people. That was his little operating town. Amen? That's where he operated at. I love that little place. That's what we need to be here. And the certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now in Matthew, he records it like he came. Amen? You would have thought that the centurion came. Because it said he came and he begged him. Amen? It's so cool. He came and he begged him, but he didn't. But he did. But he didn't. But he did. Now, God, I can't get this out of my head. Why can't I get that out of my head? But he didn't. But he did. He sent somebody on his behalf, and it was just as if he was doing it. Amen? Sometimes we get caught up in this. We think that people have to be in a certain place to get a hold of Jesus. Amen? We got to be at the church, or we got to be at this place, or we got to be in this place. No, what we have to be is in faith. You got to be in faith of Jesus. That's the only place you got to be into. But I love this. I love this story because it's not a family friend. It's not somebody that you would think. It's a servant of his. He's tore up about a servant. Kind of tell you what kind of man he is. It's somebody who works for him. Amen? Man, I wish we'd get this burden about people we work with. People we go through life with. I mean, this ain't his daughter. This ain't his son. He heard about Jesus. Amen? So he sent for him. He begged him. Amen? That in Matthew is better because he said he beseeched him, which means begged. Now, God, we're cute, man. We're cute in our prayers. We're cute. Yeah, like, I'll say this, and I won't look at nobody direct because I don't want y'all to get mad at me. We'll say it like this. I'll preach this way. Sometimes, that way nobody will get mad at me because there's no way you can take this the wrong way. Sometimes we talk to each other more than we talk to God when we're talking about praying. Spend 1 hour talking, 3 minutes praying. Who are we talking to? Each other? Amen. 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 Hey, God, if you don't mind. Thanks, bro. Amen. It's warm in here just because I just preached that. Amen. All right. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him and was sick and ready to die, when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him elders of the Jews beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now, ain't this cool that he heard about Jesus? And what he had heard about Jesus made him so believe that he sent for him, that he believed that he would heal his servant. God, never mind. We need to be telling people in such a way that when we tell them, when people hear it, they believe that Jesus that we have can do what he can do for them. I believe with all my heart, you make it to Flat Top Independent Church on Sunday, I believe you'll get saved. I believe it with all my heart. I tell that to people all the time. When I'm in the community and somebody say, "What? I heard you as a pastor. I heard you this." I say, "Man, just come to the church. What you got going on? What you got going on up there?" So we got a lot of stuff going on. We got Jesus up there. If you get up there, he'll get a hold of you. Well, I'm already saved. That's good. You're saved, but if he ain't got a hold of you, amen? I mean, you can be saved and still not be operating in your faith. So just get up there. Amen. If you get up there, God will put a charge in you. Because I run into people all the time. Oh, I'm saved. It's the way church you go to. I don't go to church. I don't really like church. Well, you need to come to our church because I like our church. Amen. Well, of course you like it. You're the pastor. Well, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be there. Did I say that out loud? Amen. Do you like your church? Man, I don't know. I might just preach a whole other line right there. Do you like your church? If you don't like this church, people will tell it. It don't matter what you say to me right now or anybody else in here. If you really don't like this church, but you say you like this church, guess what? People will pick up on that and they ain't coming to your church. I had a family used to ask me all the time, Pray for my grandfather. Pray for my grandfather. Pray for my grandfather. We want to try to get him in the church. We want to get him to church. But every time we get around him in the church, all they want to do is complain about the church. And then when they went home, they complained about each other, and they complained about the church, they complained about the other families in the church. And then I went and talked to the grandfather, and I was like, God, I would love to have you come to church. He said, why would I come down to the church? Because it's chaos. I'm like, oh, no, it's not really chaos. Oh, yeah, I live with the people that go to that church. I hear everything they say, and it's chaos. I wouldn't want to go there because my life's pretty stress-free compared to what they're doing. Amen? So you better stop saying things and doing things, because people pick up on that no matter whether if you tell them to come to church or not. Because if you've already ran everybody down in the church and ran the church down, and then you ask them to come to that church, are they insane? No. You got to make them hungry for it. Amen. You got to make them hungry by the way you walk and the way you talk. Because if you make them hungry for Jesus that's in you, they'll love to come to the church that you belong to. Amen. Told you that before. Amen. Begged him, hey, my servant's dying. And when they came to him, Jesus, they besought him, instantly saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Amen. Y'all check this out. They you know what they said? They said, this centurion, he's a Roman centurion, he's over 100. That means centurion means 100. Amen. So he's got 100 men under him. Amen? That's pretty good, 100 men. All right, so he's in charge of 100 men. All right, so he says, they say, this is a good man. He's built a synagogue for us. Man, he's already doing more than most Jewish people were doing. He built a church for people that he was supposed to be watching over and in charge of. Hey, write this down. Sometimes the best thing you can do for people that you're in charge of is love them and invest in their lives. Instead of tearing them down, maybe you build them up. Maybe there's not as much conflict with the Jews that he's watching because he has invested in their community by building them a synagogue, and they say, this guy's worthy. The same people that he's supposed to be ruling over now are praying for Jesus to move on his behalf. God, if you do this right, the people that you minister to eventually down the road will minister to you. Man, I've got some boys in my life, some young men in my life, that they're now ministering back to me. Amen? I remember sitting with them, crying with them, praying with them. They had no mother, they had no father, they had no homes. I remember sitting and praying with them, but now they're 22, 23, 24 years old, and they'll come up to me and I say, keep on preaching, brother. We appreciate it. Amen. We appreciate it. We love you. Hey, I'm doing my thing. You keep doing your thing. Man, it encourages me. Amen? I'm like, wow, man, if he's doing his thing, I'm going to do my thing because I can't let him down. That's good? So they're praying for Jesus, this man, this centurion, who didn't have to. I mean, didn't have to. He didn't have to build them a synagogue. He didn't have to help the people, the Jewish people. He had authority over them, amen? But he chose to love them. Oh, I love that, man. That's good. That had nothing to do with where we're going. I just want to show you something. It's pretty neat. For he loveth our nation. Then verse 6. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Ain't that cool? Man, if you've ever been in the military, this is so cool because he just realized something. Amen? You don't want the general. You don't want the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Oh, let's go a little higher. You don't want the president to roll up in your barracks room. Amen? God, never mind. None of y'all, is there maybe one or two of you in the military? Man, I served in the military. I was in the Marine Corps. And I loved the Marine Corps, except when they said, there's a general coming. There's a general's inspection. You're like, oh, great. He's a high-ranking general. He's a one-star or a two-star or a three-star. All that meant is the more stars is the more cleaning we're going to be doing. Amen? We're going to clean for 8 hours straight for this joker to walk by and go home. And you're going to be a zombie. Good job, men. The general thought you did a great job. Up underneath, I can't even tell y'all. Up underneath my rack bed, amen. On the back corner of a 45-degree angle fold, a grown man has laid on his back, put a white glove on, and went across the edge of my bed, crawled out and said, "You know what that is, son?" Every fiber in me wanted to say, "Ignorance, brother. It's dust, sir. It's unacceptable. Clean it up." Another 4 hours of nooks and crannies for a pass-by. Amen? This is not the president. This is not the Joint Chiefs. This is not a 4-star, not a 3-star, not a 2-star, not a 1-star. This is the God of the universe. And he's sitting there going, "I sent somebody to him and he's on the way." I don't know if somebody read ahead and said, "Them Jewish folks that you built that temple for, they prayed to Jesus and he's on his way." He's sitting there and he's like, oh gosh, the guy's dying, but we need to straighten this mess out. God, I wish I could really preach in here right now. Listen, hey, some of you right now, you got a big old grin on your face and you're happy, but if you got word right now that Jesus was heading to your house. No, I'm talking right now. He's heading to your room. He's headed to your TV. He's headed to you. You'd be like, "Hey, brother. Hey, son, I gotta go." As Jesus heading down, you get under, head him off and tell him, "Hey." He understood who was coming. He said, "Tell him, I'm not worthy." See, there it is. See, there's a lot of people who thought they were worthy. Matter of fact, they were more worthy than Jesus. They thought they were better than him. This man figured it out, a centurion, a man who was a Roman who didn't even know, he didn't have a clue who Jesus was other than by faith. He just realized, "I don't have to, you can't come in my house because I know who you are." Good. I wish we'd get this spirit. Not a fearful spirit like we're afraid of what God's going to do, but a spirit of understanding that he's God and he's in control. Because sometimes we're real flippant with God. We kind of act like he don't know what he's doing sometimes. Like he missed it or something. Like, "Oh, God, we prayed, but..." "Oh, God, we think, but..." Hey, God, "I don't know if you can handle this one. God, you must have messed up because I didn't get this what I've been praying for. You ain't done this yet." God, I wish I had just one person here say, "I know what you're talking about, preacher. I prayed and prayed and prayed and God didn't do it my way and I'm still wondering if he just kind of missed it." Because we treat him like that sometimes, like he missed it. "So I'm not worthy, for thou shouldest enter under my roof." Verse 7, it gets real good. "Wherefore neither though I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed." You know, no. He sent another guy out. Now, you're going to get to understand why he keeps sending people out in a second. Amen? This is good. He says, "Go tell him I'm not worthy. Go tell him he don't have to come under my roof. Go tell him that, hey, if he wants to heal him, he can heal him from wherever he's at." God, I wish I could pray. He said, he's a military man, and somewhere in the midst, in a panic, you can forget who you are, Scott. In a panic, you can forget. So, does anybody here know CPR? Now, if I just fall over right here, could somebody work me, get me back to life? Some of you are going like, "I don't know if I would." It's all right. That's all right. Okay, let's understand. But what I'm saying is, hey, somebody in here, you might have had CPR at one time in your life, and you know it, but you don't know if you know it. Amen. I mean, you'd come up and you'd be like looking at me going, "Oh, goodness gracious, there's old Kevin there. I'm going to have to like, was it compressions first and this and was it this and that? Oh, gosh, which was it?" But somewhere in this thing, it better kick in or y'all be doing another search committee for another pastor. Good luck with that. So, never mind, I'm sorry. That's just a tad bit of flesh right there. I'm sorry. Y'all got to look over me every once in a while. Pump, pump, pump. So all of a sudden it kicked in. He's like, "I'm in a panic. I'm in a dead panic right here. Man, my servant's about dying. I love this guy. But Jesus is coming up." And all of a sudden he's like, "Oh, wait a minute. I know what in the world's going on. Wait a minute. This guy's got authority. I've got some authority, some earthly authority. And this guy's got a lot of authority. He don't need to come here. Just like I've been sending, God, you hear me? Just like I've been sending messengers to him because they're under my authority, they had to go. They had to go. Amen? They went on my behalf, and it was as if I was talking to him myself because I had the authority. They went and spoke for me because they were under my authority. Whatever they said was because I said it. And they're going to a man who has more authority to me than me. And whatever he says has to be done. Just like them guys running back and forth with my messages. As soon as he speaks it, he's God, and it has to command. See, all the way through the Bible, we've got God speaking the stuff. One of my favorite, I know y'all know it's my favorite, is the water. Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat? I can't wait to get to heaven. Water has got this thing about it. It don't let you stand on it unless it's froze. And then it can be a slippery situation. That was funny. You people are hard, man. All night right there. I'm hoping at the end of my preaching thing, there'll be a book of little sayings that I said. And everybody said, well, that's so funny when he said it was a slippery situation. Ha, ha, ha. But water doesn't do what it did. Water got together and said, we don't normally hold people up. But because he has more authority, we'll do what we normally don't do for him because he's God and he made us. God's in control of every cell in your body. He's in control of every person in your life. Some of you right now think you're in a mistake. Somebody thinks something happened to you. Something's went wrong in your life. By mistake, everything that's happened to you has brought you to a place of brokenness where you can get saved. Everything that's happened to you has made you the person. I used to wonder all the time why in the world my father left me when I was so young. I'd always wonder that. I said, man, what did I do wrong? Well, then I thought it was crazy because then I joined the Marine Corps and it seemed like I got about 10 daddies. No. I better rewind that. I didn't get 10 daddies. I got 10 disciplinarians. Because, see, I was raised by my mom. And my mom wasn't a disciplinarian. She tried to be. She'd get mad and throw stuff at me and break yardsticks on my back. It didn't hurt, though. I act like it did. Amen? So God, even before I got saved, sent me into the military. He sent me into the Marine Corps because he knew I needed some disciplinary men in my life. Amen? He knew I needed some leadership. So he put in to my life something that I didn't even know I needed. I'll be honest with you, I signed up with the Marine Corps in 5 days. Dumbest thing I ever done sometime. I was thinking, man, I was on a bus to South Carolina, Paris Island. 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm riding on that bus, and I'm thinking, how in the world did I end up here 5 days ago? That was God. That was God. Amen? Are y'all in this with me? Let's see some more of this stuff. It's really good right here. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. That's big faith. Amen. His disciples that were walking with him didn't even believe like that. He hadn't been walking with Jesus for 3 years either. He wasn't under direct leadership. He by faith, he just instantly understood this. Now look, verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. You see it now? And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned unto him and said unto him, the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Okay, I'll put it in terms that's not in the King James. You just got your doors blew off, sucker. Somebody got it. You just got your doors blew off. Now, can y'all handle this? Look what, now this says it in the Bible, so I believe it. I believe this is God's Word. I know, I just believe it. That's blind faith. I just believe that God can keep, if He can keep my soul, He can keep His Word. That's what I believe. Y'all good with this right here? Watch this. Jesus heard these things. He, underline this if you're a radical, He marveled at Him. Do you see that? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to say? Jesus marveled at me. Man, I was always, if I could ever get somebody to say, man, that was a pretty good throw. That was a pretty good kick. I can remember playing ball into my 20s. And my dad would show every once in a while. And I'd do something and hit it. And after the game, I'd be waiting, fishing. Just like, come on, man, say something. Man, son, you didn't mess up too bad. Yes! Now listen, y'all know my dad. He's better than that. As soon as he got saved, he got older. He pretty fast, and you can throw pretty good. And it's pretty good. I'm up. Said, goodness, thank goodness, that's right. You can doggone right. I'm pretty good at that. Now, never mind. Daddies, you better hear what I'm saying right here. This might hurt a little bit. Your sons and your daughters, even when they're older, it wouldn't hurt you a bit every once in a while to say, hey, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You know what? I'm just proud of you. I don't care what you do. Whether you do it or not, you're a superstar to me. Now, when they do something wrong, you ain't got to blow them up when they ain't doing good. I'm just telling you this. Every once in a while, it would be good just to put your arm around them and just say, hey, I am proud to be your dad. I love you, son. Because they hear enough garbage. I'm going to say this too. They hear enough silence. You talk about everything else. Amen. Talk about business. Talk about work. Talk about politics. God, have we talked about politics? When you just look at them and say, hey, you know what, son? I love you. And what you're doing is awesome. And especially if you've ever seen one of them, if you've ever seen one of them aspire to open a Bible or say a prayer or do any or encourage their friends, or if you've ever seen one of them say, hey, I was just talking to so-and-so and my heart's really going out to them, that's when you really got to come in and you got to say, hey, that blows me away. It blows me away. Now, I'm not talking to your moms because your moms are right here. You know every once in a while, They act like they're too cool to hear it from you, moms. And dad, they might not even acknowledge you said it in front of you. But I'm talking to you as a young, as a boy and a man now. I still remember every word. Amen? Say it every once in a while. Say it. Woo! Man, glory. I didn't even know we was going there. Amen? It got all serious. I love that. Amen. I love when God digs down into us, don't He? He digs down into us every once in a while. He gets into us because I know there's about 3 or 4 or 5, maybe all of us in here tonight need to hear that, because praise God, every once in a while we find ourselves not taking care of what God has given us. Golly, I can't get past that. That's the only thing God gives us that's worth anything is our kids. God, never. Treasures. Man, that's a big deal. Y'all better hold on to that one. Amen? Now listen, he marveled at him, but he sat there and looked at him, and this is God. God said, this guy, man, this guy. Listen, I don't know if everybody wants to get there or not, but I'm telling you, wouldn't it be cool for every once in a while, God just inch off the glory seat, just inch up and go, that guy, or that girl, man. Wow! I mean, this is a guy that he didn't expect. This is somebody he didn't. He just. I mean, it's a centurion. It's a. Can I put it? It's a Gentile. It's a guy who's got power and authority and should be looking out for number one. But he's thinking about the things of the Lord and His servant. He starts loving God with all of his heart and loving others as himself. And God's like, man. Y'all need to write this down. Every once in a while, every once in a while, even I do this. I do this. I'm sorry I do it. But every once in a while, I can get on this thing where I think I'm all alone. I'm the only one, Mark. I'm the only one. And God runs me over to Elijah. God, I'm the only one. Ain't been Anita Bell. And he says, shut up. I got 7,000. I got 7,000 that ain't been Anita Bell. Do you know what he's saying when he says seven is complete? Completion. Seven's completion. And he said 7,000. He said, I've got people that you don't even know about that wouldn't do nothing but die for me. If I said start walking into your own death, they'd just start walking. Go ahead, God. I mean, so you ever run into somebody who really loves the Lord and you thought you was doing some big deal stuff, and next thing you know, you walk into them and they say, yeah, I've been doing that for about 20 years. Amen? Franklin Graham, he went in about 5 years ago, went into Mongolia and Thailand and said this would be a hotbed for Christianity. My friend Tommy Tillman's been there for 25 years. I love Franklin Graham. Don't get me wrong. But Tommy Tillman's been in there building schools and hospitals and going back and forth across the desert for 25 years. He said, you're right, it's a hotbed for Christianity, but somebody's already here working on it. Amen? Just when you thought, man, there ain't nobody in Mongolia, there ain't nobody in Africa, there ain't nobody in Africa. Yeah, there is. He's a Christian walking through the backwoods of Africa right now looking for one more person that ain't heard about Jesus. And if we're not careful, there are going to be more people knowing Jesus in Africa than they do America. I'm about done, I promise. It's Wednesday. I just thought y'all needed a big word. I preached my guts out last night, almost my mouth, out my throat. So I figured y'all wouldn't mind if I went just a little bit over. I don't know over what. I don't keep up with the time. And they that sent were returning to the house and found the servant whole that had been sick. And it came to pass that the day after that he went into the city and called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. You know what he did the very next day? This is for the Q&A. Let's all stand as they come get a song. The very next day, in Matthew, you can tell Jesus is a pretty cool cat because he came into Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. That's a special God right there. Amen. That's a special Lord.